Jeremiah 37, and for the sake of time, we'll just read the first three verses. It says, "And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Peniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land, did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this morning as we gather in your house, and we ask that you would bless thy word, and Lord, also the young children, Lord, and we ask that your word would speak to our hearts this morning, and we ask your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So this morning we'll be looking, hopefully, at both chapters 37 and 38, and look at the aspect of how Jeremiah's preaching imprisoned him. It cost him dearly. That this is why I love Jeremiah and call him the faithful prophet, because regardless of what his circumstance was, he kept preaching for the Lord. No matter what it cost him, he would preach for the Lord his God. And no doubt, by the time you get to chapter 37, it is a very critical situation in Jerusalem, a big crisis. They're going through a very hard time. Nebuchadnezzar again was at the wall. They're besieging Jerusalem. And it's a sad story again of a king, of a people, of a nation that would not believe God's word. They rejected God. They rejected God's word. And they rejected God's prophet. And so again, the end result was, of course, the awful judgment that came upon them. And so in this present chapter, we see the story again of the king and people who have rejected God and his word. And they're facing a crisis in their life. Again, the utter destruction of the nation of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. It was an unbelievable war machine, these Babylonians. But as they see the impending doom coming, apparently it got the attention of the king finally. And it's like most people, that they have no interest in God until they're in trouble. Right. And up to this point, Zedekiah could care less what Jeremiah was saying. And I do find it kind of interesting that he now inquires of Jeremiah. Again, there in the end of verse 3, he says, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." And it's so sad that that's the only time when people will seek the Lord, when they're in trouble or going through a difficulty. And it's so sad. But it just shows the aspect of their awful depravity. And so we see in the verses the awful rejection of God's word. We see the arrest and imprisonment of the prophet Jeremiah. But then blessedly in chapter 38, the rescue of Jeremiah. And then conclude with the final meeting of the king, which was a secret meeting between the king and Jeremiah. Again, in verses 1 through 4, well, in chapter 37, I call it the confinement for Jeremiah, and in chapter 38, the compassion for Jeremiah. In verses 1 through 5, we have the calling of Jeremiah, again, where King Zedekiah sent his people to go inquire of Jeremiah. Again, in verse 1 of chapter 37, and the king Zedekiah, the son of Jonaiah, reigned instead of Coniah, too many Nias, the son of Jehoiakim, from Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then, this is a very important aspect in verse 5, then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt when the Chaldeans had besieged Jerusalem. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Of course, this just sees the awful downward spiral of the whole nation. But there was a little tribal because Egypt came up. And so Nebuchadnezzar took the war machine from Jerusalem and sent it toward where Egypt was. And some of these people got the idea that God was going to deliver them. Okay? But let me just give a little history so you know basically what's going on here. It was King Nebuchadnezzar who placed Zedekiah upon the throne. Okay? He was the brother of Jehoiakim, who had died a few months earlier. Remember, Jehoiakim died because he kept rebelling against Babylon. And upon his death, his son Jehoiakim, or Coniah, took the throne. But Coniah immediately faced the terrifying threat of the Babylonian advancing army. And Nebuchadnezzar had mobilized his big war machine, a massive army, comes to Jerusalem and basically taking revenge against the king for rebelling. And they say there was upward to 10 to 20,000 members in his army. And, you know, Jerusalem is surrounded and there seems to be no hope. But the problem was that even Zedekiah, who was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, he was just a puppet king. That's all he was. Okay? He was just a puppet king. And Judah was nothing more than just a vassal state, you know, in subjection to Nebuchadnezzar. And the sad thing is, again, they would, as was prophesied by Jeremiah, kings will never have a son to sit upon the throne of David. And of course, not until the Lord Jesus Christ came was that fulfilled. But nonetheless, Zedekiah ruled as a puppet king. He did it for almost 10, 12 years. And the two chapters, 37 and 38, just kind of give the last couple of years of his reign. But as Coniah had done, Zedekiah does the same thing. He rebels against Babylon. And so he mobilizes his army, that Nebuchadnezzar, to invade Jerusalem. But again, for some reason, again, the Egyptians who had formed some sort of allegiance with the nation of Judah to help go against the Babylonians still came against the Babylonians. And that's why they had to be removed, that is the army, to go and fight with the Egyptians. But again, in the midst of this, Zedekiah is seen, we can only suspect that Zedekiah is going, maybe Jeremiah is right. Maybe we are going to fall. Maybe we're not going to be delivered. And therefore, what does he do? Goes inquire of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, can you pray for us? Jeremiah, can you go before the Lord and inquire and pray for us? My. It's amazing, really, when you think about it. Everything that Jeremiah had preached has set forth so clearly, and they would not listen. But nonetheless, they would not. And so they thought that a prayer by Jeremiah would undo everything. But remember, God had already set forth his judgment. And if we had seen in prior chapters, it says he would not relent. He would not, as we would say, change his mind. Because judgment was going to come upon Judah and they were going to go into captivity. It didn't make a difference. But the king Zedekiah thought he could go to Jeremiah. And so in verses 1 to 5, we have the calling of Jeremiah. But then in verses 6 through 10, when there was a little reprival, And there was a little bit of peace in the land because the Babylonian army removed themselves from Judah and they go meet the Egyptians. Well, at that point, Jeremiah decides to go to Benjamin to deal with some issues that he had to deal with. And this is where we find what happens to Jeremiah, and he's put into prison. Again, in verses 6 to 10, the charge of Jeremiah, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army which has come forth to help you shall return to Egypt to their own land." And so Jeremiah, this is what the Lord is telling Jeremiah. This is what you need to tell the king. Egypt's not going to do anything. They're going to go back to their own land, and the Babylonians basically are going to come back. Verse 8, "And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart." See, because now they were thinking, hey, it's over, you know, they're gone, we've been delivered. No. Verse 10, For though ye had smitten the whole army of, and this is just an example, that if the army of Judah, says, "For if ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet they should arise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire." In other words, even if there were many that were injured and hurt of the Babylonian army and they went back, as soon as they recovered, they would come back and they would destroy the city. In other words, it's going to be destroyed no matter what. It's going to be destroyed. And so again, the king in such desperation sends a message to Jeremiah, asking him, hoping that God would answer and there'll be such a miraculous deliverance. Remember, he had done such a miraculous work for Hezekiah. And we know that story. But again, the people, sin upon sin, rejection, awful idolatry. I mean, it was just unbelievable that it sinned so much that God was bringing judgment. But at this point, again, Jeremiah is still free. He had not been arrested. And again, it seemed like it was a false hope. It was a futile hope which sprang up in the people's heart. But Jeremiah is told that no, nothing has changed. Judgment will come upon them. The Egyptians were going to go back to Egypt, and the army is basically coming back because the withdrawal of the Babylonian army again aroused great hope. But it was short-lived. Again, even in this, the people did not repent. The people did not turn their heart. The people still would not obey the commandments of the Lord. Again, to the contrary, they continued to reject the word of God and His holy commandments. And again, the end result was awful destruction upon the land. And so again, in the midst of this, we see that, sadly, Jeremiah is going to be put into prison. Egypt was going to collapse. It was a false hope. They would not be delivered. And so judgment was coming. And sadly, in the midst of this, in verses 11 to 15, when the army again is moved away, as Jeremiah goes to Benjamin, he is in prison. In verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for the fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." Basically, he's telling them, you are deserting. You know, you're holding hands with the Babylonians. You know, they're accusing them of false things. You know, instead of preaching that God would deliver them, he was preaching gloom and doom. And so they thought that he was hand in hand with the Babylonians. And so now they're accusing him of desertion. But I believe there's a little bit of revenge here with this man at the gate, Iriah. I find it strange that apparently he's the son of Shelemiah and the son of Hananiah, apparently the grandson of Hananiah. If you recall in chapter 28, remember in 27 when Jeremiah, he put on the, made a big scene, put on the yoke, went into the middle of the city and preached and said that you're going to be in bondage. Then in chapter 28, Hananiah arises and he takes that yoke from Jeremiah, throws it in front of everybody, and it breaks, that God's going to deliver you and you're going to be set free. And so Jeremiah basically rebukes Hananiah. And notice, if you recall what happened, turn to Jeremiah 28. We'll just read the last few verses. And this is what God tells Jeremiah to tell Hananiah. Verse 13. Jeremiah 28:13. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, thou shalt make them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest these people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the people. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. And so Jeremiah was very forward in his message to Hananiah. And so now he's at the gate of Benjamin. And who happens to be the guard? The grandson of Hananiah. And I think he took a little bit more to capture him, and whether it was revenge or not, I don't understand. But he just starts accusing Jeremiah falsely of desertion. He says, you fall away to the Chaldeans. In verse 14, then said Jeremiah, it is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him. So Iriah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. When the prisoners were wroth, wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. Well, this is where we see where Jeremiah is put into prison. And the reason he is put into prison was for the preaching of God's holy word. Though they tried to hide it under the mask that it was desertion, but it was because of what Jeremiah had been preaching to the people. So in verses 11 to 15, again, we see the confinement of Jeremiah. And so in those dark days of the Babylonian siege, Jeremiah is arrested. Jeremiah is put in prison. He is charged with treason. And so it's unbelievable in the aspect of how they treated Jeremiah. Again, doing the law, or doing the aspect of that the Babylonians were going to fight the Egyptians. Again, Jeremiah thought he would return to handle some family business. But again, when he was at the Benjamin Gate, he was arrested, charged with desertion. And I'm amazed that all of them, not just one, all the princes, verse 15, they were wroth. They were angry with Jeremiah. And sadly, they not only put him in prison, they smote him, they beat him up, and they put him in the lowest prison. And it is so sad when you think about it. And again, part of it, I think, had to do with Jeremiah's prediction of the death of Hananiah, or his grandfather Hananiah of Arijah. Anyway, so they imprisoned him. They put him in an awful dungeon. And it was unbelievable, really, when you think about it. It was so sad. and so deceiving by the people. But even in the midst of this, you think Jeremiah would compromise? You think maybe some would say, maybe if I change my message, they'll let me out of prison. And this is why I love Jeremiah. And this is why, again, the faithful preaching of Jeremiah. This is why I love this prophet. And in verses 16 to 21, we see the consistency of Jeremiah. At verse 16, again, it says, when Jeremiah had entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. And Zedekiah the king sent and took him. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah had a chance to change up the message. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for you, Zedekiah. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. And I can just see Jeremiah standing foot to foot, eye to eye, staring at King Zedekiah. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people that you have put me in prison? And so now he's just asking, what have I done? There's no justification for putting me in prison. What are my accusations? But notice, I love what Jeremiah says. If it has to do with my preaching, what about the false prophets? What about all those other prophets that said the opposite of what I said? What about all those false prophets that said that you would have peace? Why are they not in prison? The Babylonians basically have come down, and they're going to besiege the city. Verse 19, where now your prophets we prophesied unto you, saying the king of Babylon shall not come against you nor against this land. Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord, the king. And he was being gracious. He wasn't being, you know, ugly or mean. And with great respect to the king, O Lord, my king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him a daily piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread of the city were spent. Does Jeremiah remain in the court of the prison? Well, Jeremiah did not change up the message. He was consistent to the end. The only difference, this time, maybe he wasn't put in the same place where he was before, but nonetheless, he was still in prison. And in this time, again, Jeremiah, he did take the opportunity to plead his case before the king. Basically, again, just what crime have I committed? What have I done to justify my imprisonment? And the king did show some aspect of compassion and gave a little bit to the prophet's request. And he requested that he be removed to the palace prison. And then, of course, at least given a daily ration of bread. But the sad thing, the king didn't free the prophet. You know why the king didn't set free the prophet? Because he was a weak king. He was more concerned about the people. He was more concerned about the city officials, the people under him, that he knew they were going to all turn against him if he set the prophet free. So he's trying to play both sides. He's trying to pacify Jeremiah a little bit, and he's trying to pacify the people also. And we know a lot of people like that. You know, they speak from both sides of the mouth. And they try to pacify everybody. They take no stand. They have no conviction whatsoever. And this is what we have in Zedekiah. But again, Jeremiah's imprisonment does remind us how many throughout the history of the century have had a strong testimony for the Lord and have been put in prison. Yea, many that have been put to death just for the sake of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My. I don't know how much longer we'll have freedom in America. But at some point it's going to end. And not in my time, maybe my son's time, and not maybe in their grandchildren's time. But things are changing, my dear ones. And it's a sad state of affair. I'm trying to remember the city that I read somewhere that they already passed a law that you can't go out, you know, preaching openly. I don't want to name the city because I can't remember which one it was, and they already passed it. And in other words, if it was here in San Antonio, we couldn't go downtown preaching if we wanted to. You would be in prison. But it's happened throughout the centuries. And I remind you again, I do thank God that we live in a nation where we do have religious liberty, and I'm so thankful for that. But the first 1,600 years of church history, it was under intense persecution. They had to hide themselves in many different places. And America began how? Because of that aspect of wanting religion, the freedom of religion. And so God did bless our nation tremendously. But somewhere in the mid-1800s, our nation turned against God. And little by little, I mean, you go back to the 60s, you know. I mean, as a little boy, I remember watching those signs by the hippies and people all going crazy that God is dead. Things change. Prayer was thrown out of school. So many things. And little by little, you see it. Finally, it's going to be an avalanche. And it's gone. All come down. But regardless, we will still maintain our conviction in preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. Or will we give in? And this is why, again, I love Jeremiah. He did not cave in. He did not give up. He had that conviction. And no matter if it landed him in prison, guess what? Thus saith the Lord. Amen. And nothing would shake Jeremiah. And what a blessing. And so now Jeremiah is confined. And thus it brings us to chapter 38, where now, interestingly, in the providence of God, the compassion for Jeremiah's story. The compassion for Jeremiah. What a story. They put Jeremiah in prison. I mean, they beat him up. And they probably would have been happy if they would kill him. But God was going to keep his prophet. In verses 1 through 6 of Jeremiah 38, we have the message of Jeremiah. Again, in verse 1 of chapter 38, as Jeremiah is in that awful miry dungeon again, then Shephatiah, the son of Matan of Gedaliah, the son of Peshar, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, Peshar, the son of Malkiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. And this has been the message of Jeremiah consistently telling the people, go to captivity. Go ahead. Go to captivity. God will be with you. After 70 years, God will restore you back to your city. But if you stay here, you will surely die. If you stay here and rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, whom God says, I have raised Nebuchadnezzar. If you stay in the city, you will surely die. And so Jeremiah's message hasn't changed. Again, he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall have his life for prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakened the hands of the men of war that remained in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of the people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hands, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of prison, and they led Jeremiah with cords in the dungeon, where there was no water but mire, and Jeremiah sunk into the mire. In real simple terms, it's not like anybody was going to kill Jeremiah physically. So let's put him into the dungeon. He'll starve to death. He'll die. Maybe a sickness or something. But eventually, in that dungeon, which was dirty and filthy, no water, Jeremiah would eventually die. And that was the whole purpose, that he would die. But what a blessing again. You know, when you think about it, God in his glorious providence would deliver Jeremiah. And amazing, not by a Jew, but by a Gentile. Again, you have four high-ranking city officials who are very, very upset with Jeremiah. As Jeremiah continues to preach the same message, even in prison. And so, what do? They demand that he be put to death. And they try to excuse themselves that, you know, he's hurting even the man of war by still preaching the message. He's destroying the moral, of the morale of the soldiers. Zedekiah, again, plays both sides. He doesn't say yay, he doesn't say nay. He just tells them to do what they have to do. The thing is, if Jerusalem had surrendered, Nebuchadnezzar would have taken everybody exile, from the king to the lowest peasant. But because they would not, he was forced to basically destroy and burn the city, which we know did happen eventually. Read at the end of the Kings and the Chronicles and you will read that story. My. And it was all because of what? The sins of the people. And because they would not listen to the message. And so, wishing to silence Jeremiah forever, these four high-ranking officials, they tried to silence him. They tried to kill him. They lowered him by the ropes into the empty cistern, empty dungeon. But God was far from being through with his prophet. And now we have mercy for Jeremiah. And I love this. In chapter 7. Abimelech. My. Amen. Now when Abimelech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abimelech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord, the king, these men have done evil. He is a Gentile telling a Jewish king. What's going on? They have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. He is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Abimelech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Abimelech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clout, an old rotten rag, let him down by the court into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abimelech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes under the court. And Jeremiah did so. And so they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. What a blessing. Abimelech would come and rescue Jeremiah. Zedekiah did send him with 30 men of the royal guard to help Abimelech to save Jeremiah. And so they ran to the place where Jeremiah was. They tie up a whole bunch of rags and stuff and rope and whatever they could find. And they put the rags and the rope trying to pad it, because it must have been pretty deep. Because they had to lower it. And Jeremiah had to tie himself and be brought up. And they brought him out of the dungeon. You know, I think of this eunuch Abimelech. I have a feeling he'll be one of these that the Lord spoke of in Matthew when he says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then the righteous shall answer, Lord, when saw we a hungry, fed thee, thirsty, drink? When we saw you a stranger and clothed thee? When saw we sick or in prison, came unto thee? And the king shall answer, that is Christ. Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. And I'm sure Abimelech would be in that classification of those. Amen and amen. As I said before, I believe Abimelech was the only convert of Jeremiah. And then quickly, in verses 14 to 23, the mandate of Jeremiah. Then Zedekiah the king sent into Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of the hosts. Then said the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt surely go forth unto the king of Babylon princes, then thy soul shall live. In other words, submit, subject, be taken as a captive to Babylon. This city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylonian princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their land. Just a reminder, Ezekiel and Daniel at some point were taken captive into Babylon, and God used them mightily because they obeyed what the Lord said he would do. But Zedekiah was so headstrong. And the sad thing, he was just a puppet king. It would have been easy for him just to submit and do what Jeremiah is saying. But they would not, and of course, the end of the story, Jerusalem was destroyed, burned down. Verse 19, and Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. There was another problem. He was afraid that if he goes captivity, some of the Jews that had gone before him felt that the king didn't do anything for them, like sending the army to deliver them. He felt that if I go over there, if they catch me, they'll kill me. But the Lord said, you shall live. Instead of looking what the Lord said, he was thinking what man might do instead of what God said he would do. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee. So shall it be well unto thee. Excuse me. And thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon princes. And the women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire. They are turned away back. So they shall bring out of all the wives, bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king, and thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. Again, the simple message is obey, submit, and be taken to captivity. You will live, the city will be spared, the temple will be spared, people will be spared. But again, he would not. The mandate by Jeremiah, by that I mean the instruction, the charge that Jeremiah gave to the king, obey the Lord. Do what God says. And then it concludes in verses 24 to 28, the matter of Jeremiah. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the prince hear that I talk with thee, and they come and unto thee, and say unto thee, declare unto us what thou hast said unto the king. Hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, and he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them accordingly to all the word that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. And so, the end result of this, again, you have a very stubborn people, a very stubborn king, and yet they still would not give in to what? To thus saith the Lord. The message was clear. Obey, submit, go forth. Judgment is coming no matter what. You know, really, it's no different to a sinner that without Christ. You plead with them. You tell them, judgment is coming. Come to Christ and you'll be saved. That's your only hope of deliverance. And they will not. It just shows, again, the awful depravity of the heart. Awful pride of man who would not subject himself to what the Word of God teaches. But in the end, again, Jeremiah was firm. He was solid. Steadfast with such a godly conviction that no matter if he was freely preaching upon a street corner or in the dungeon of a prison, he maintained his character and stood for the Lord, and he was faithful to the end. And what a man is Jeremiah, a man that we all should emulate with such a godly and holy conviction. Let's pray. Glorious God, Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for the testimony of this great prophet Jeremiah. And I'm sure Jeremiah was here. He would tell us all his faults, not to, you know, praise him or whatever. By thy word that said, let another man praise thee. Right. And so, Lord, how many times we, and I went tonight studied, we say we need to follow in the footsteps of David. But Lord, we also need to follow in the footsteps of Jeremiah to have a faithful conviction in their hearts. No fear. But to stand with that conviction to teach and proclaim your holy truth. And so God, help us to be as Jeremiah, Lord. So we ask this in your blessed and holy name. Amen.